Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of Liquidware Chats. In this episode, I talk to Kevin Greenway, who's the CTO at Tenzig. We talk about how Tenzig are different to other thin client vendors in the market and what differentiates them. We also look at how Liquidware and Tenzig collaborate together, and we have a general discussion about EUC. I hope you enjoy the episode. Thanks very much.
So I've been in the EUC industry for 11 years now. I've been in the IT industry for probably 25 years. As you said, I'm the CTO at Tenzig, and I've been with the company now, like I say, for 11 years.
Did you start at Tenzig as CTO, or have you worked your way up?
It's a great question. So I was taken on at Tenzig as the managing director for the UK side of the company. And my background is really product management. And it was a natural progression for me to move into the CTO role. So I think probably approximately 6 or 7 years ago, I became the CTO as part of that, responsible for the R&D team and the support teams who exist at both in the US location as well as the UK location, where obviously I'm based, as you can tell from my accent.
Just for people who might be aware of who Tenzig are and what they do, can you give us a bit of background to Tenzig?
Yeah, absolutely. So Tenzig, it's actually our 20-year anniversary that we're celebrating. Wow. This year.
Congratulations.
So, we've been in the market space for a long time. Tenzig originated in the IBM space, which is kind of way in the past. And 20 years ago, they rebranded as Tenzig, which is who we are today, where we sort of came into the EUC world sort of early in the sort of terminal services and earlier in the Citrix. And I think we really came to a head really more around the VMware Horizon era. So we've had a lot of success in the thin client and zero client space, especially sort of in the past 6 to 7 years as the VMware Horizon market has grown, specifically, you know, around the Blast Extreme evolution, PC over IP, Blast Extreme. We've also had a lot of success with Citrix and then more recently AVD, Azure Virtual Desktop as well. What differentiates Tenzig is the fact that we are in the hardware and software game. So where a lot of the, say, traditional thin and zero client companies have perhaps moved out or moved more towards software, Tenzig as a company is still very much firmly in the hardware space.
But just on that point, because it's interesting, as you said, like most other thin client vendors have veered away from the hardware. Was that a strategic decision by yourselves to stick with hardware?
Yeah, it was. You know, there's still very much, you know, a large market for the hardware. Again, you know, in the VMware Horizon space and the Citrix space, and even as we're seeing now with AVD attachments on the increase, there's still very much is a demand for the hardware market. Now, on the flexibility side of things, the EUC space, or specifically the thin and the zero client space, has evolved a lot over the past 3 years with regards to pandemic. And again, as was touched on in your past cast, I don't want to touch really on the pandemic, but ultimately what sets Tenzig apart, especially on the hardware space, is the fact that we have, you know, been able to adapt to the change in the EUC space very, very well, both in terms of our hardware and software.
You didn't really see the same kind of supply chain issues that other hardware vendors saw, or you did?
We did. Yes, we did. You know, that was definitely a challenging time for us. We had to change and evolve the way that we forecasted. We've been very fortunate that we have, you know, good storage facilities and we have good supply chain. But yeah, for sure, you know, the lead time on chips did change and still to this day is not back to where it was. But, you know, we were well planned and prepared to be able to sort of forecast ahead for that to be, be in a position that we could keep that supply chain running.
And that's good. That's good. That's interesting. So you touched on it there that from a software perspective, you have Linux, but you also have Windows IoT. That's another thing that kind of differentiates you, because most thin client vendors have stuck solidly with Linux. So is there any reason you guys have developed both?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And it's, again, become even more relevant these past 3 years. Now, Before I answer the question on Windows, I do think it's worth mentioning the Linux side. So Tenzing do lead on the Linux operating system. That is, you know, by far our biggest market share. And over the past sort of 3 to 4 years, again, before the pandemic, and I promise that's the last time I'll mention the pandemic, but we set on a task to really redo our Linux operating system. So we wanted to get more aligned to Ubuntu as a core. And we really wanted to be in a position that we could speed up our development time and, again, be more aligned to our partners, including Citrix, VMware, and Microsoft. So we are pretty much at the final stages of that. And part of that was where traditionally we've played the Linux operating system just wrapped around the Tenzing hardware. We very much recognize the change in the market with regards to things like laptops emerging. So both on the hardware and the software front, we have evolved the Linux operating system and indeed offer a laptop now to play into that market. And that really positions us really well for what we see in the market today with regards to using the Tenzing operating system on not just Tenzing hardware, but third-party hardware as well. And where we see a lot of interest from specific customers is where they see an interest in a company like Tenzing because of the fact that we do offer both. Now, to answer your question on the Windows front, where that's really put us in a nice position over the past 3 years has been with emerging technology from Microsoft with regards to Azure Virtual Desktop. So where we are on the Linux track with this, and we've got some really new exciting features on the Linux side of things with Azure Virtual Desktop and Windows 365. Ultimately, by having Windows 10 IoT, we've been able to offer the parity feature set from the Windows RDC client. Teams
optimization. Like Teams optimization and exactly. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
Teams optimization. Yeah. The RDP short path. Those features ultimately that give any customer that's on that AVD path the kind of guarantee and the flexibility that they can keep trend with the latest feature set, Linux for sure.
And given Microsoft's whole development thing of they develop the Windows platform first, then Linux. So, if the demand is there, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yep. So it's ultimately having that greater flexibility, really, that we can play into both Linux and Windows. And Tenzing are very, very good at recognizing, we talk to engage with new POCs, new prospects. And we can make the choice on whether, we see Linux or Windows as the greatest fit. And quite often what we do see is a mixture of both, dependent on, the different use cases, whether manufacturing plants, for instance, might be Linux versus knowledge workers, which perhaps might lean more towards Windows just because of, again, that greater feature set.
And would you see sometimes maybe a shift towards Windows over Linux due to, say, some peripherals that wouldn't work as well on a Linux platform?
That's right. Yeah. So again, we're seeing Linux catch up all the time. But for sure, there are certain peripherals that do, ultimately play better on a Windows-based endpoint. So yeah, it's a good question.
So just to talk a little bit about Liquidware's partnership with Tenzing, and how long does it go back?
The years all blur into one now, but we've enjoyed a good working relationship with Liquidware. And again, I think what really kind of capitalized on that more was the remote work culture. We definitely saw, a change in the market with regards to Tenzing dealing with the endpoint and the Liquidware Stratosphere product specifically, where it was able to sort of report and troubleshoot certain metrics. So I think we were really lucky to have that existing relationship with Liquidware, again, predating the past 3 years. And we've really seen that go from strength to strength. So where Tenzing's, niche is on the hardware and software delivery, we can rely on partners like Liquidware then to follow through with actually, providing end users with those, vital statistics with regards to how their users are performing remotely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I as you said, that this whole thing around remote work, you want to see network and Wi-Fi stats, and obviously Stratosphere does all of that kind of stuff, but it also does like the hardware, the CPU, so the performance as well. And I presume you're aware, but we also have like the likes of our ServiceNow integration. So you can take all of the data from Stratosphere and plug it into ServiceNow, which, you know, helps on the service desk side.
It's a big, big thing. I mean, you touched on it yourself, all of those different, you know, they're essentially moving parts, aren't they? And and that's the gift that we're blessed with within EUC. We have to look at all of those moving parts and figure out where there is, you know, any problem or bottleneck. We have to be in a position to sort of identify where that is. So, you know, the Liquidware offering does exactly that. So it's a great mutual offering.
That's good. And given that you support Windows IoT, you should see the benefit of our new product Command Control, which is coming later this year. You know, we talked off air on this, covers all the kind of real-time metrics around those devices. So it's not just the historical data, you can get the real time and you can, you know, remediate on the fly. So I think I can see an extension of our partnership with our new products that's going to launch later this year.
Yeah, no, definitely. You're right. You know, hearing that offline was really exciting to see. And, you know, getting that real-time statistical data from Windows-based endpoints is going to be, you know, really valuable. And as you touched on yourself, Windows 10 IoT does have its space out there. So to have those tools to really back up and enforce those deployments is going to be a really big, powerful thing, and hopefully good success for Liquidware.
Yeah, I can see our partnership going from strength to strength because of the way you are structured in that you support the Linux and Windows side of things. It makes sense. So one of the things which I don't know if you're aware actually with Stratosphere is around the process optimization. We all know kind of sustainability is becoming bigger and bigger, and it's basically the process optimization is all about extending the life of devices, but also it gives you an idea of, say, if you have an estate and say how long that device can last. So then, you know, you have the possibility of then replacing it with something like a 10 gig device if it's a old, you know, Windows 7 machine or something that you've converted or something like that. That's kind of another extension of the whole partnership with yourselves. I presume repurposing and sustainability are big topics at 10zig at the moment, given what's going on in the world.
It very much is. You know, we've got the two angles that really, honestly, both have emerged, where, you know, the benefit of using thin clients, and it goes back to, again, it predates, you know, my time with 10zig, but one of the first benefits of thin and zero clients was the whole energy saving things. And on one side of the fence, we've seen companies looking with interest to lower their energy costs, but obviously then replace hardware to gain from those energy savings. But to your point, on the other side, there's the whole sustainability thing. And again, I think where 10zig are really well positioned with that is that if that is in a company's priority and interest, you know, 10zig are in a position that they can help that customer essentially extend the life of that hardware by leveraging the 10zig Linux-based operating system. And then as that hardware does eventually fail without replacing it early, again, they can lean on 10zig to follow that up with our own hardware as well. But ultimately, you know, give the users the same experience from the same Linux operating system, whether it operates on, you know, existing assets or, you know, net new assets. And even better, more, you know, when that hardware does fail, leverage those energy savings. So I think that, again, I wasn't aware of Stratosphere offering that particular feature, but that, again,
we tend really to start talking about it a lot more, as you can imagine.
Yeah, no, it's for sure. I'll be using that as a value add for sure. So yeah, thanks for sharing that.
No problem. I only found out a couple of weeks ago myself, and I'm like, hold on, we have sustainability features in our product. We need to start really talking about that, because
definitely
there's different priorities when it comes to devices and EUC between, say, Europe and North America. But
you're right.
Sustainability is kind of like top of the tree now. You know, they're putting out company reports, and sustainability is one of their aims for the year, and we're seeing it more and more. And it is growing in North America as well. It's just not as prevalent as it is in Europe. So, yeah, I think sustainability and it's becoming more and more prevalent and very much part of what a company is looking for. It's not just cost. Now, obviously, there's the dual thing, isn't there? You know, you can be more sustainable and then there's a cost saving as well. And obviously, where the world economy is at the moment, then, you know, ROI is just as important. So if you can balance the two and be sustainable and save some money, then obviously companies are going to look more at those type of solutions.
Yeah, no, you are right. And you touched on a very good point that for sure I've recognized with covering both continents that there's definitely a different angle there, you know, in Europe, say, versus North America. And I think you're right as well that it is sort of that message that is prevalent in Europe, whether it's regards to sustainability or energy savings, is slowly making its way over to North America as well. So, but definitely a very good topical point that, yeah, we see more or less in every deployment at the moment here in Europe.
Yeah, and just looking at EUC in general, what do you kind of see as the key trends for kind of 2023?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and I hate to call on the cliches, but still the unified communications is still very, yeah, very hot topic. You know, again, with most workforces being very much hybrid, there's still very much a need to support them in their abundance. And again, Tenzing are really well positioned there. We are seeing definitely an uptick with regards to, again, I kind of touched on it before, but where a lot of companies have perhaps invested in laptops over the past 2 or 3 years, is now then a need to secure those and manage those as they perhaps would have done in the past, thin and a zero client. So they're very much the trending topics that we're seeing at Tenzing that we can ultimately help customers with. And of course, it's evolving. So EUC's a forever moving target. Again, from our partners, we see the clients release it at an ever accelerated rate. Yeah. So for Tenzing to be able to keep at parity with those and ultimately offer our combined customers the greatest feature set from those by, you know, sticking ahead of the curve, that's another thing that we do see. And, you know, EUC it's an exciting place to be. It doesn't stick in its tracks, as it is constantly moving at an ever accelerated rate.
I agree. I think it's one of the reasons I love working in EUC, is because you never know what's going to happen next. And you obviously, really don't, you know, be remiss to not mention how, you know, the next big kind of evolution in IT is obviously AI. You know, we've seen this explosion of various different solutions. And do you see that having an impact? Well, it's obviously it will, but do you see it? What sort of impact do you see it having on end user computing?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, actually. And it came up almost by accident. I can't go into too much detail, but I was having a discussion with one of our developers over the past couple of weeks. And I think for the first time, we were able to sort of leverage that exactly where, you know, in terms of repetition and producing scripts. Yeah. It was almost like a light bulb moment. And it's, I think for the first time, I'm really sort of feeling my age, where one of my biggest probably successes in my career and sort of learning tech along the way has been able to embrace this new tech. And for the first time, I'm almost scared, I guess a little bit scared of it in terms of what it can do to replace us. But I think I'm trying to figure out how best to embrace it, really. And again, that was a light bulb moment, that rather than, you know, having to think, you know, to the back of the brain, or, you know, really work hard to think solutions, that we can actually rely on AI to produce the work for us. And so I think it's a case of that really benefiting from that rather than reinvent the wheel over and over.
No, I agree. I think it's kind of, if you can figure out how to utilize AI to your benefit, definitely, don't put your head in the sand and ignore it, because then it will take over what you're doing. Yeah. But if you can find ways to use it to enhance what you're doing, then I think there's huge benefits to be seen.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, there's a little thing in the back of my head about a certain movie from the 80s that, you know, creeps in every so often. But at the moment, I'm like, I'm all on board on this. So
yeah, no, definitely. And for sure, it's helped out as well with a few support incidents, whereas in the past, Google's been our friend for however many years, and Google, soon to go away and be replaced. And if it can help us in those sort of areas, then I'm all for it. So bring it on.
Excellent. Well, this has been a really good conversation, Kevin. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for watching, listening. The podcast will be available on YouTube and on all major audio platforms. Thanks very much.
Thanks for inviting me, James. Been great.
Thanks.